We've just been hearing about how Jesus is there and he longs for us and how wonderful he is. But sometimes there's a veil over our lives. We cannot let the truth of God enter our hearts. For some reason, sometimes we don't really know what the reason is. But Jesus spoke to me like this. Draw back the veil behind which you hide. Turn to me, your Saviour, your Redeemer, and your Lord. Let my light shine upon you. As you turn to me, as you gaze upon me, absorbed by my presence, overwhelmed by my glory, as you draw back the veil, my presence and light will penetrate the deepest recesses of your soul, revealing, cleansing, and restoring. Cleansing deeply, cleansing by my precious blood, spirit, and word. Draw back the veil of grief, the veil of sorrow, the veil of disappointments, unbelief, and doubt. So as the veil of darkness is drawn back, you will experience my healing touch, my redeeming power, my power to restore the broken vessels, to be fit for the Master's use, that you may once again contain the excellence of my power, my Holy Spirit's dynamic, that you may once again experience my living water springing up within you, saturating your thirsty soul. Draw back the veil, allow me access to the broken and wounded places, hidden in secret from the gaze, in secret recesses of your being, hidden from my healing touch. Let my light reveal, cleanse, and restore your soul. Can I not remake? Can I not restore? Can I no longer heal? I, who spoke to Lazarus, come forth, and he came forth. I, who spoke to the wind and the waves, be still, and they were still. I, who spoke healing to the lame and the blind. Can I no longer heal? Can I no longer speak peace, life, and restoration? I am Jesus, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Is there anything too hard for me? To God, who commanded light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the gospel in the faith of Jesus Christ. So, we've got to remove the veil.
Praise the name of Jesus. Good morning. It's good to see you here this Sunday morning. Nice and bright out there, and it's great in here as well. So this morning, I just want to share something from the Word of God and share what's on my heart and share where we as a church are moving forward and moving to. And so it's one of those things that once I get a revelation, once I get a confirmation, once I know where we are going, it's my duty then to let the people know where we are going so that you can see and catch the vision, you can catch what's on my heart, and you can say, yes, I can see that. But often I need to explain as to why the whys are very important as well. And so this morning I just want to do that. But before I do that, let's just bow in prayer. Father, this morning we want to say thank you, Lord, for this time together. I pray, O God, that your word will come forth clear and that we'll hear your word and respond to your word, because your word, Jesus, is life. And Lord, this morning our hearts are open, our ears are open to receive what you have for us in Jesus' name. Amen. In a mental hospital, there was a journalist, and he asked the doctor, how do you determine whether a patient, how do you admit a mentally ill patient? How do you determine how you admit a mentally ill patient? The doctor said, well, we fill a bathtub with water, and then we give this patient three things. We give him a teaspoon, we give them a glass, and we give them a bucket. And then we ask them to empty the bathtub. The journalist says, oh, obviously, the journalist says, obviously, a normal person would use the bucket because it's bigger. The doctor said, no, a normal person will pull the plug, the drain plug. Please go to bed number 39. We will start further investigations on you. Now, you also thought about the bucket, didn't you? Aha. Go to bed number 40. We'll deal with you. Today my title is Be the Game Changer. Be the Game Changer. And when we look at a game changer is one who looks at what's happening and decides that unless something changes, the game is going to die. The game is over. And we will die with it. It is someone who can see the bigger picture and make a change now. It's someone who looks at the challenges as opportunities. Have you got that? That's a game changer. He looks at the bigger picture and he decides something needs to change in order for us to get to where we want to be. He looks at the challenges and he thinks they're not challenges really, they're opportunities. And it's just a shift of our mindset to know that there are challenges, there are problems that we face, because change is never easy. But if we look at change as an opportunity, if we look at a problem as an opportunity to do something different, that brings a different perspective. Am I right? How many got that? It brings a different perspective in life. I was speaking to someone yesterday, last evening, and I was encouraging this person to say, look, have a positive outlook. Tell yourself how good you are. Tell yourself that your body is healed. Because all I heard from this person was, I'm getting ill, and my body is getting ill. I can't see properly. I can't hear properly. You know, I can't feel properly. And I just tried to bring something into this person's life. I said, look at yourself differently. Because when you see yourself and speak to yourself something of the Word of God, something that's positive, your body responds. And sometimes in our lives, we prophesy negative things into our lives. And then when we experience negative things, we complain. How many are with me? And if we start to change that picture and begin to declare positive things into our lives, something will change. Our minds will react with what we are speaking, and there will be change that happens. So in a game changer's mind, problems don't exist, only opportunities. And challenges, the challenges he faces, turns into opportunities for change. Now I know that many of us here have faced situations in our lives. And we have had to use various tactics to overcome these challenges. Am I right? We are not without problems. We are not without challenges. They are always there. But in order to achieve significant benefit, we have got to change our thinking, change our doing. And how many of us have actually done that? We have. Whether knowingly or unknowingly, we have somehow adapted and changed our style, our language, our behavior in order to achieve that significant benefit. See, growth comes out of change. If a child remained a child, we'll have a big problem, won't we? We'll all get so upset because a child hasn't grown. A child has to grow. Anything living grows. Growth comes out of change. And through a process of metamorphosis, a caterpillar becomes, that is not so pretty to look at, becomes a beautiful butterfly. But that comes through a change that happens. In church, God often takes us through a process of change. Last Sunday we heard Bob was preaching and he spoke about the pillar of fire and the cloud. And wherever God moved, the tents moved, the children of Israel moved. Because God doesn't stay in one place, He's on the move. And wherever He goes, we go. Because there's no point if God is going ahead and we are staying here, stuck to one place. That will not help us. And God takes us through a process of change so that His purpose can come to pass. And often for God to bring about something new, the old has to die. The old cannot exist with the new. The familiar has to become unfamiliar. And the past has got to be left behind to embrace the future. The church, you and I, we are living, aren't we? Give me a wave. That's it. We are the church. We are living organism. We are living people. And wherever there is life, there is growth. Am I right? We are growing. We are adapting. We are changing. We are a church and we are living stones. And therefore, we also change and we also grow. Sometimes change and growth can come in small proportions. And sometimes it can come in large quantities as well. Nevertheless, if we fail to embrace the change, we will never grow. And often in our lives, we have got to come to a place where we got to tell ourselves, I've got to do something different. If not, nothing's going to change. That's why, as a church, we are looking to grow and we are looking to change and grow. Here's a statement. Your position is not as important as where your direction in life is. Your position is not as important as where your direction in life is. In other words, our position as a church is not as important as to where God is leading us. And I know that as a church, we have gone through some great times. We have gone through some not so great times as well. And in the last 7 years that I have been here, we have had change. We have had people come. We have had people go. I'm thankful for the ones that we have today, for the ones who have stuck through, for the ones who have stayed the game. And I'm thankful for all the experiences that God has put me through, because out of that, change has happened. I've become stronger, I've become bolder, and God has shaped my character. And I'm thankful that those of you here have weathered the storms of life. And you have been faithful to the house of God. And you have been faithful to the body of Jesus Christ that gathers here every Sunday. So I'm really thankful for that. But now we must venture into a new phase on our journey that God is bringing about in the life of this church. So some of us may ask, why do we need to change? Why do we need to move? Why, and why? We're quite happy here. It's nice. It's comfortable. You know, we have everything in place, and it looks good. So let me give you the why behind the move that is happening. For the last few years, we have been on a journey. And from time to time, we have considered changing venues. You remember some time ago, God gave me this, I still have it with me, this plan for a place, for a building. And I realized after a while that was not the right time. I was praying this year, at the beginning of this, I said, Lord, this is my 7th year in this place. And God, something has to change. Something has to change. About About 3 years ago, when we were visiting Equippers Church in Chertsey, which is where we were for 8 years, because there was a conference going on there. If you all remember Pastor Bruce Monk, he's the apostolic leader for the Acts churches and the Equippers churches. He spoke into our lives, and he said this. He said, a big change was required. A big change was required. This was 3 years ago. And I had the 6-month window of opportunity in which to make that change. If not, we'll remain the same. Now, I was looking for what in the 6 months, believe you me, I was, you know, praying. I was, you know, asking the Lord, what's the change? Where is the change? What do we need to change? And, you know, I was looking for all of these changes. And I believe I missed it somewhere. I missed it then. In 2017, Pastor Peter Prothero, whom you all know, who is also a trustee of the church, and he's also our apostolic leader and someone that I look up to. And he told me when I had a meeting with him, he said, Sam, you've got to move. Because where you are, nothing is going to happen. Nothing significant is going to happen. So it took us another year. Because how many of you know that, you know, moving is not easy? But I knew at the end of last year, somewhere around September, I was talking to our leadership team and I was telling them, I said, look, we are now moving. I was determined. I knew this was the time. I said, we are moving. How many of you remember this, our leadership team? Remember that? We are moving. And so, having wrestled with all of these thoughts, having drawn even a plan of what I think our building should look like, it was only in September last year that I knew that change had to happen. So now, we are preparing for that change. We are preparing for that move. And every one of us are involved in that move. Why? Because we have a greater opportunity, a better opportunity to serve and to grow. You know, when a container is small, what it contains is small. Am I right? But the moment you make that container bigger, there is room for growth. And I believe that although we might be around 35 to 40 people that come on a Sunday, we're about that, we need a place that will give us a bigger vision, a bigger look, a bigger, what can I say, something that we can aspire to and say, wow, we need to fill this place. And so here are some of the reasons, here are some of the whys. As to why we are moving. It's because the vision that we are carrying needs a bigger and a better facility. Our vision, if you look at our the red cards there, our focus is that we want people to come to faith, and we want people to grow in faith. We want families, we want children to come. We want young people to come. And we want to be a positive influence in our community, correct? That's why we are here. There's another why. It's because our location, it's a nice place, it's a great place, but our location isn't suitable for what we are carrying and wanting to do. It's not suitable for what we are carrying and wanting to do. This was the right place. It started many years ago. And we are thankful for that. But our environment has changed. Our community has changed. People's behavior has changed. People's needs have changed. People's wants have changed as well. And society has this sort of postmodern era mentality where people want to identify in something that is significant, in something that's big. So we need a location that's more central, that people can see, that people can come to easily, and where we can be known, and we can be more visible. And this facility that we're going to is on the main road. Isn't that great? It's on a main road, and it's very visible. Those of you who have cars, when you come here, you find that on a Sunday, you find it difficult to park because on Sundays, people are at home. And it's not easy to find a place to park. And today, people want easy parking. They want to drive to a venue, park their cars, get their stuff, go to the place. Am I right? Gone are the days when people walked miles. I remember walking miles when I was in Sri Lanka. We used to walk miles to church. It was great. It was fun. It was fine. But today's environment, today's generation, want things a bit more easier. And so where we are moving to has a fantastic parking space. And we can park 70 cars. You can just drive in, park, short walk, you're in the hall. Isn't that good? Yeah. That is amazing. The other reason is this. The other why is this. This building is good, but it looks a bit dated. Am I right? It does. And so we need something that looks modern, that is spacious, that's big enough to accommodate more people. Somebody who recently Googled our church said this, that they thought this church was a scout's hut. And I was going, oh, okay. So people view, when they look at the building, they don't see it as a church. They don't see it as a place of worship. That's another reason why we thought it would be good to move into a more modern-looking facility. This venue is modern. I'll show you some pictures at the end. The other reason is this, that if you don't try something new, we will never know its impact. To grow, we have to change. And this is always difficult. It's always a challenge. But challenges are simply stepping stones to greater opportunities. Challenges are stepping stones to greater opportunities. Life is never without its challenges. And I'm confident that as a church, we have come together. We have pulled together as a community of people who love Jesus. And not only who love Jesus, but who love one another and who care for one another. And I know that we are well positioned for this transition. And I just believe that this transition, this move, will forge better relationships and create a sort of an excitement in the church and a passion for the kingdom of God. Because each one of us here will have much more to do. There'll be much more that we can do than just coming on a Sunday, because there'll be more to contend with. Our container will be bigger. And so opportunity as well will be bigger. Can you see that? Amen? No amens? Yes? Let me give you some scripture. Galatians 6 and verse 9 tells us this. It says, "Let us not grow weary whilst doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." In other words, if we don't give up, if we don't get discouraged. Proverbs 29 and 18 in the Message tells us this. 29 and verse 18 of Proverbs. "If people can't see what God is doing, they stumble over all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed." The King James Version says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." I like the Message, though. If people can't see what God is doing, they stumble and fall over themselves, all over themselves. So the question that we have got to ask ourselves is this: what is our purpose as a church? What is our purpose? Why do we exist as God's people, as the called out ones? What is the bigger picture? See, if we do not focus on why we do and only concentrate on what we do, that'll kill us. Because the why is important. The why brings vision. It brings excitement. It brings encouragement. This is why we're doing what we're doing. Purpose is paramount, is important. And it is what it will drive us to go places. What's our purpose as a church? And our purpose is right there on those red cards. You will see it very, very clearly. It's very clear. It's very easy to understand. Our purpose and our destiny is bigger than our position and status as a church. God has something bigger. God has something better and something that involves everyone working together to build the kingdom of God. Ephesians 4 and 16 tells us this. Ephesians 4 and 16. He makes the whole body fit together and unites it through the support of every joint. Every joint supports each other. The body is put together by every joint that is supportive. As each and every person does its part, does his job, what happens? He makes the body to grow. But you and I have to do our part in enabling the body of Jesus Christ to grow. Sometimes we can get tired of doing good, and that's why the Bible warns us and encourages us to be on our guard in getting tired of doing good, because sometimes it can be draining when you're doing good and you're getting tired. There is a season coming that we need to grow. There's a season coming where we have to go deeper. There's a season coming where we've got to push the boat out. There's a season coming where we can experience God's fullness. A season of fulfillment, a season of abundance, a season of reaping the harvest. How many want to reap a harvest? I know, I want to reap my harvest. I don't want to just, do church and then die one day and that's the end of it all. No. I want to have as many people wanting to the kingdom of God. I want to reap. I want to see. I want to see people come to faith in Jesus. Why? Because we have a gospel that is alive, that is living, a gospel that liberates people. And what people are looking for is liberation. They want something to come out of their situation. And no matter how much money you might put into that situation never changes. But only God can change the heart of man. And we have an absolutely amazing message, the gospel. It's just the good news that Jesus saves. He delivers us out of this domain of darkness and he translates us into the kingdom of his love. That's what he does. He does it because he loves us. Not because we deserve it, but because he loves us. Because he gave his life for us. Because he paid the price for our sin. That's why Jesus does what he does. And that is, he brings us into salvation through him. And we come to a place where we know and understand the love of Jesus. And that's why we are here. And that is my heart. I want to see people come to faith. I want to see them in the kingdom of God. Now, how many know that there's always a cost and a price to pay? And often we get surprised by the cost, but there's always a price to pay when there is purpose. And when there is purpose, the cost becomes irrelevant. When there's a vision, the cost becomes irrelevant. Because you have a goal, you have an aim, you have something that God has put on your heart, and the cost becomes irrelevant. And we know that there will be more to do. We know that. But if we just stay stuck thinking, we are not big enough, or we are not good enough, or we don't have the manpower, we will never experience the bigger things. And I believe with the people we have, if we pull together, if we say, yes, I'm willing. Yes, I can see it. I know that God's moving us to a bigger place, to a better place. Yes, I can come alongside. Yes, I can be part of what you're doing. That'll be a great place to be. Because then you're part and parcel with what God is doing in this house. The temporary can become permanent with a game changer. The temporary can become permanent with a change in our mindset. Ask yourself this question: what brought you here to this house? What was it that brought you here to this house? Because that will give you the answer to, yes, I'm in this house and we are moving forward in this house. And God is bringing something better. So my encouragement to us here is, let's embrace change. And let's keep on that race that God has mapped out for us. Because we are looking unto Jesus, who has gone before us. He has empowered us to take courage and be bold and reap that harvest. This is a great investment that will bring great results. Are you with me? Yeah. This is a great investment that will bring great results. I just want you to trust us on this. I just want you to go with us on this journey and see what God is actually doing. And you know, always when you're on the verge of something new, of something different, there's always that hesitancy. There's always that element of procrastination. And oftentimes, if we need to get to the other side of the show, if we stay on this side of the show and we do nothing about if we stay in that place of procrastination, we will never get to the other side and experience the blessings that are on the other side. So let me invite you on this journey of this edge of the water kind of place that we are on. And we are going to step on the water. We're going to step on the water and we're going to test the water and see what God's going to do. Remember Peter? He stepped out of the boat. He didn't look at the environment at first. He didn't look at anything. He just looked at Jesus. He said, come. He stepped out. He walked. And then he looked at the environment. And he sank. Almost sank. Here's a promise that you can hold on to. Turn with me to Zephaniah. It's in the Old Testament. Zephaniah chapter 3. And verse 17. Can we have that scripture up? Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 17 in the New Living Translation. We're coming up. We're coming. Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai. Before Haggai. A few books before Malachi. The last book of the Old Testament. Zephaniah 3 and verse 17. This is what it says. For the Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty Savior. He will take delight with you in you with gladness. He will take delight in you with gladness. With his love, he will calm your fears. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs. Hallelujah. Let me read that again. For the Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty Savior. He will. Tell your neighbor, he will. He will. Say again, he will. Take delight in you with gladness. With his love, he will calm all your fears. With his love, he will calm all your fears. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs. Underline that scripture. Put it up. When you feel afraid, when you feel, oh my goodness, what's this change going to look like? Oh my goodness, What's going to happen? What's going to happen to us? What's going to happen to the church? We are the church. Put this scripture up and tell yourself, God will, with his love, calm my fears. He will rejoice over me, and he rejoices over me with joyful songs. So let's connect with someone this week and encourage them to come. Can we do that? Can we encourage somebody to come? Can we invite somebody to come with us to the house of God? Can we invite someone for coffee? Can we invite someone for lunch? Can we invite someone for dinner? Do something different. Invite somebody to come and spend some time with you, because that brings change. So here's where we are proposing to move, and I'm going to put up some slides of where we are going. So the venue that we are going to is the Burlington Junior School. How many know Burlington Junior School? Everybody knows Burlington Junior School. The junior school have a fantastic hall. How many of you have seen the junior school, the Burlington Junior School hall, the big hall? If you haven't seen it, have a look at it. It's an amazing, amazing venue. Is it coming up? The PowerPoint. Now, those of you who know where Burlington School is it on a main road? Is it very visible? Yep. Do people know where it is? Yep. Does it have its own car parking space? Yep. It has 70 spaces in that place. There we are. So that's the inside of this building. Can you slow it down on the PowerPoint so I can explain a bit? Now, see, God, when he does something, He orchestrates it amazingly. And if you remember, we had some kids who were with us last year it was, who went to this school. And through those kids, we got to know the school really well. We got to know the principal, we got to know the head, we got to know some of the teachers, and they got to know us. They knew who Jenny was, they knew who I was. They knew what the church was because the kids came here as well. And so there was, in a sense, a sort of a relationship that we had built with them. And so when we approached them, they were really glad for us to come and hold our services on a Sunday in their hall. In fact, they went a bit further and they said, you know, once we're comfortable, you're comfortable, we'll give you a key. You know, one step further, we'll give you a key to the side gate entrance as well so that people can walk in, straight in to the hall. And so we are seeing, you know, favor upon favor. And we know that God's in this. So this is the front view of the hall. And obviously in the front we'll have our stage area. We'll have, you know, things put up so it looks good. You know, it won't look like a school hall. It'll look something better. We are working on that. This next slide. That's the entrance, actually, where you'll come in from. There are two sets of doors. We'll use either one of those sets of doors. You will come in and to the next one. That's the opposite side to those doors you saw, where the toilets are. You go through those doors, and in you go to the toilets, and there's a changing room to the next one. You missed one slide there on the inside. Never mind. Okay. Right, that's the one. Good. So that's the back end of the hall. And so what we're proposing to have is a hospitality area at the back where, you know, people come, they meet with you, they have a cup of coffee and, you know, some refreshment, and then we start our service. So the time that we want to start our service there is 11 in the morning. 11 in the morning. So it gives you time, plenty of time, to get there on time. Get there before time, because I want us here, we are the pillars. We are the living stones. I want us to be there early. Because when people come, we can greet them. We can look after them. We can show hospitality to them. We can show them the love of Jesus. So all of you shouldn't come at 11. You should be there 1 hour before. Or even just half an hour before. Whatever time you can come in. come in early. Why? Because we need people greeting. We need people on the road. We need people directing people coming in. We need a whole lot of people getting involved, participating in what we are doing. So the next slide. So this is the car park. And as you can see, loads of car parking spaces. In fact, opposite the school is Curry's, isn't it? Yeah, Curry's PC World. Now, you can park there, but you get only 2 hours. If you exceed the 2 hours, you will get a ticket. That's for sure. So if you stay within the 2 hours, you can park there, which is right opposite the school, which is also good because people, our service is going to be about an hour and a bit, not that long. That's it. So people who come at 11 can still park there and get back before 1, because we'll be finished well before 1 o'clock. So that's the car park. Right, next. So this is the side entrance to the school. And as you go to the gates, what you see in the back, there is the hall. So you walk in straight in the hall. Next. Any more? That's it? Okay. So the one slide that we are missing there is the entrance to the car park. So the entrance to the car park is a few doors along. If you look at the pedestrian entrance, you just drive a bit further down that road, a few hundred yards, and you'll see an entrance to on the same side of the school that leads into the car park. So we like the location. We have passed it by several people who have had a look at the location, and we have got agreement with the location. People are excited about the location, and so I'm excited because it's something new for the church. It's something that's challenging, yet a huge opportunity for us to grow. And I hope you can see why we are doing what we are doing. And this will start on the 1st of July. So the 1st of July, Sunday the 1st of July, we will not be here. We will be at the school on Sunday the 1st of July. Now we are making banners ready and leaflets and all that. All that is coming up really soon. And we'll give you a load of leaflets, except so you can give people and say, hey, here's a local church in a local school. Come and see what we do. Come and taste and see what we do. So that's starting off, kicking off on the 1st of July. Are you okay so far?
Yep.
Good. Some are smiling. Oh, that's closer to me. In fact, it's closer to a lot of people, which is great. And I really believe that once people know who we are and what we do and how we do things, because we are a church that do things excellently. We don't do half-hearted stuff. We do it well. I mean, people see that, they say, wow, we like this place. So are you with me, church?
Yeah.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
Good. Can you see it? Praise God. So yeah, so that's, I forgot to mention, sorry, there is another, we're booking the smaller hall as well for the kids. And the smaller hall is for the kids. It's just next to the big hall that you saw. Also, it has its own facilities in there. It has the mats that you put down. It has some other gear. They said we can use their gear, can use their climbing stuff and all this sort of thing. So that's great. So we can have our children also getting excited and their own little place to run around, play, and get fed by the Word of God, get taught the Word of God as well. So we need people. We need people to help us move. We need people who stand at the door. We need people in the car park. We need people on the road. We need people who are directing others, you know, and encouraging with big smiles, saying, welcome. We love to see you. So we need people. Are you with me? Okay, so we will have an opportunity. You will have an opportunity to say, I'd love to serve in this area. I'd love to serve in this area. And we will take that into consideration, because every one of us here can be involved in some way, shape, or form. Okay, let's all stand together. Let's commit this building and this process to prayer, because nothing happens without prayer. And let's take it upon ourselves, individually, collectively, that we pray for this every day in our prayer time. That God will anoint this, that God will bring people, that the word will spread, that people will come and be blessed. We have an amazing Father. An amazing Father who sent Jesus, His Son, to die on the cross for you and for me. And by dying on that cross, Jesus took upon Himself our sin, our shame, our disappointments. Jesus took it upon Himself, our suffering. Jesus took it upon Himself. He died, He shed His blood. And by that sacrifice of His blood, He canceled that debt that we owed. Where the devil had a hold on our lives, He canceled it. And He has brought us through His blood into His kingdom, that you and I can call ourselves children of God this morning. That's what Jesus has done. He's a loving Father. And only He can go into those areas and those places where we hurt, where there are disappointments. And only God can heal those places of hurt and disappointment. I like that song we sang this morning. Are you hurting? Are you wounded? Are you disappointed this morning? The answer is in Jesus. All you do is say, Jesus, I'm hurting. I'm disappointed. God, I look to you. I put my burden, I put my disappointment, I put my shame and all my unworthiness, I give it to you right now. You can say, Jesus, heal me. Jesus, heal me. Jesus, set me free. Jesus, I want to be your child. And you know what? Jesus is so loving that He'll change your heart. He'll change your disappointments, your sorrow, your sadness. It'll bring joy, fulfillment into your life. And Father, this morning as we are here today, God, I just want to thank you that you are so amazing. You're so loving. And God, whatever the disappointments and the hurts that your people have gone through, could have been in their childhood, could have been through their youth, their adolescence. It could have been through that. It could have been in their adult life. God, whatever that situation is right now, we bring it under the blood of Jesus. We come against those disappointments, those hurts that have crippled your people. I come against it in Jesus' name. God, I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you died on the cross, you shed your blood just for those situations. And now we take the blood and we apply it in those situations, in those emotional hurts and areas of places where you have been hindered. We take the blood of Jesus and we apply it. And we declare healing and restoration in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father.